Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 536. File Browser is back, recorded on April 28th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And we're here to talk about some new Halo stuff, especially since Super Slayer or Super Fiesta has been out. There's lots of cool, fun stuff to talk about there, and some new content update, including a working file browser. And then we also have another campaign mission that we're going to cover in this episode. And again, we are bioless tonight. We're just going to be kind of having a short show, and we'll probably have another one. We'll probably do a double show this weekend, but we're here. We're talking about a couple of new things and hopefully trying to wrap up the campaign stuff here pretty soon, because we know people want to talk about lore stuff and people want to talk about what the end of Halo 5 means, and we need to get there before we can actually do that. So we've kind of been putting the campaign on the back burner a little bit.
Well, we've had some good podcasts in the meantime.
So. We have. We certainly have.
And those are opportunities we definitely could not overlook.
Right. And there are plenty of other opportunities that hopefully we'll be able to get through. And there is a couple other possible opportunities coming up with some other special guests. Hopefully we can get that squared away here pretty soon. But let's go ahead and jump into some things. First of which I think is a huge benefit to everybody is a file browser.
Yay! Thank the Lord.
I know. Everyone has been asking for this for such a long time. I think mostly probably the Forgers.
Definitely. And the people that run custom lobbies a lot. Because now Mike,
AKA you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm, you know, not just me. It, believe me, I love it. It has cut my friends list in half, and I can actually use my favorites for my favorites and not use it for the Forgers, so I can keep track of who's who. But anyway, I've already started using it, and I'm loving it. If I see a YouTube video or something of a map that I like that I want to bring into our game nights, I just click on the link.
Yes.
And when I get home, it's sitting there waiting for me. Now
this
if they could
so
just
much better.
Fix the bug with the game types, then we'll be good.
Fair enough. But hey, at least we have something that works as a file browser.
Oh, definitely. And you can truly browse. You can browse by gamer tag. You can browse by type.
And I think you can do just a general search term like on the name or the description, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty wide search box, search field that you can search through. So
I don't know how wide the search box has to be, but
well, I meant for maps.
Right.
You know, it's not Google.
Correct.
But it does a really good job. I've played around with it a little bit. They have the download counts on them, so you can see how many times they've been downloaded. They generally list the top downloaded right there on the front page before you start actually searching.
I was going to say, I thought I saw like a top list of some kind in there.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Awesome.
And there's a lot of Forgers there that you will recognize at the top of the list.
Yeah, I've noticed a few, which is awesome. And I think for the films too, like if you do Xbox Record That or do another game film thing, you can actually see that in your file browser as well. So you don't have to go to Xbox.com or Xbox DVR to actually pull that stuff up. It's actually available in the file browser on Waypoint. And that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been farting around with it a little bit. Unfortunately, at least on mine, it doesn't pull your bookmark films.
No, so it doesn't pull the files themselves, but like if you actually have gone in and done a recording, those will come up because all the recordings have a meta tag associated with what game it's recorded with. So you just go through and pick that out, and it's nice to have just all your Halo 5 films in one place, and you don't have to go and dig through other films as well. And actually thinking about that now too, something that I know we've talked about and we've kind of messed around with the community, and something that we might actually be able to do now is have a community highlight reel. So after we do Tactical Tuesdays, Warzone Wednesdays, and the Fraggin' Fridays, anyone who's gotten the game clip, now we can just go to the profile for all of the company and just go through and see who's recorded stuff, and we can just go ahead and pull that stuff instead of actually having to go through the arduous process of going through Xbox and then going through the films and all that stuff. It makes things a lot easier, basically.
Yeah. It looks like we'll have to wait to a little bit longer on being able to pull a film right off Waypoint. They give you a place where you can share the film, where you can email it to somebody, but they don't give you a download link yet. So, but even still, it gives a nice place to where you can browse without all the other garbage.
Right. If you can,
you can specify who you're looking at a little easier.
And if you also look at, like, you can go in, I think, I don't know what the player, how it used, but you can go in and pull the video. And if not, everything that goes to your Xbox films, you can go to Xbox DVR and pull it that way too.
Yeah.
And if it's on, because Waypoint just pulls the film and it just kind of reassociates it with under Halo Waypoint, but it's still pulling from Xbox.com. It's just a different way to access it. So if it's up on Waypoint, you can just go over to Xbox DVR and go find it there. But at least this way, if we do go down the route of wanting to do a community highlight reel after every week, then we can go through and at least watch all the films. And then we say, okay, we want this one, we want this one, this one. We just go to the user's profile in Xbox DVR, and then we go ahead and pull that film and do something like that.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to find clips.
Yeah. So that's a huge, huge improvement. So yeah, fun file share stuff. Awesome to have. People are very excited about it. I haven't seen too many people actually tweet about it too much, but I do think it's one of the things that people have been asking for a lot. And now that we actually have it, it's really nice that it's there. Now, to your point, what you said just a little bit ago, it would be nice to actually manage bookmark films.
I'm hoping that's something that they give in the future, because, you know, that's something that is part of Halo, and it would be nice to get an easier way to get them off of your Xbox, other than to sit down and record them with either a capture card or to record them with the Xbox Record That.
So I think the only way something like that is going to happen is if 343 did something like a Bungie Pro.
Yeah, and that would, well, I mean,
I don't think many people are looking for that, though, because yeah, you have the capability.
Even with the Halo 3, you could save film to your file share.
Right.
Which basically just recorded the data from the game.
Yeah.
And stored that, and then when you watch the film, it rebuilt it, and you could watch it on the website as well.
No, you couldn't.
But you could.
Nope. Nope. That was only if you exported the game with Bungie Pro.
But even still.
Yeah, that's not that simple.
Well, it's something that's available, because the films are already stored on their servers.
No, the game session is saved. The films,
anyway, they've already have the information where they could build the file.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying if they wanted to do something like a Bungie Pro, like they did for Halo 3, then they could. But that would be, I don't think there's enough demand for it. I don't think there would be enough demand for it.
It would be something that would make things a lot easier for people to do. Because unless they did a lot to change the film controls, the,
like, how so?
Well, they leave a little to be desired.
So if
you, one, if you don't have the controls on the screen, you can't rewind the film.
So the only thing a Bungie Pro type thing would do is render the game out just straight as a gameplay. And you can do that already on the Xbox, other than the fact that the game DVR doesn't allow for clips longer than 5 minutes.
Well, you can set the DVR to record for longer than that, but you have to go in and set it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to set it up to record and then record your gameplay, and then you can.
Is that a new feature?
No, it's always been there.
I always thought it was a max of 5 minutes, even if you started it beforehand.
The maximum of the Xbox Record That motion is 5 minutes. You know, if you're in a game and you just hit the Record That button.
Right.
That is the max 5 minutes. But you can actually, if I remember right, you can go in and set up the DVR to record more than just 5 minutes I think you have to go into Upload Studio or something like that.
The biggest... Okay, I just did a quick Google search on it, and it looks like it wasn't there originally, but there was an update to Xbox DVR that lets you record up to 30 minutes. So 30 minutes is the max. But yeah, you're right. You can do longer than 5. I didn't know that. Learning something new every day. GT's the man.
It's not an easy system to work with.
Yeah.
It's very cumbersome.
Anyways, so regardless of that, it still would be nice to manage. And I guess to add on top of the whole managing bookmarked films, maybe have it linked back to the game stats where that film came from.
True.
That would be cool as well.
Stats are always good.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So that's the file browser. If you haven't figured it out by now, you can just go to Halo Waypoint and you can go to your profile, and under the drop down where you have profile, Spartan Company, inbox, all that stuff, you'll see a new entry that says file browser, and you go there and you can view your game clips, screenshots, variants, and all that stuff. And you can bookmark other people's variants. If you go to their file browsers, you can watch their screen. You can see their screenshots and watch their game clips. So yeah, fun new stuff, fun toys. Goodness all around.
Very much goodness.
So that was kind of the big thing that happened over the past week. We do have a playlist that's actually been out for a while, and since we didn't do a podcast last week since I went to PAX, yay, which we'll actually have another podcast about that next week because they had the PAX East qualifier because the... So from... I guess I'm going to divert a little bit here. From the HCS Halo World Championship that took place last month in the middle of March, the first and second place teams from that tournament were supposed to be automatically seeded into the Pro League. And I know we haven't done a podcast on that yet, and we'll do that next week. But the second place team, which was Team Allegiance, which the team NATO was on, they completely dissolved. There was no one left on the team. Like, everyone went their own separate ways. And everyone from that team that went into different teams, those four teams got invited to PAX to play for that second place. So I don't think there was any monetary reward specifically for this event. I think it was just to be placed into the Pro League. So CLG was automatically in there because they won. And then the winner from this past weekend, which was Evil Geniuses, go my team, they got placed in there as well. So they're automatically into the Pro League. And then there's a few other events coming up. There's a online qualifier. There's another LAN tournament that's going to be a qualifier for it as well. And then there's going to be an open qualifier that'll be open to everyone later next month. So went to PAX for that. Saw that. That was all Sunday. Lots of good games. Arguably, some of the games were better than the games that we saw at the World Championship, believe it or not. So that's why we didn't have a podcast last week. So over the last week, though, we've had a new playlist in the arena side called Super Fiesta, which is Warzone rec weapons available to be randomly given to you at spawn. So instead of
it's all Warzone weapons.
Yeah,
you can. They're not just rec weapons. You get your the loadout weapons are there as well.
Right. Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Anything and everything that you could get in Warzone, you could get in this, basically.
In it?
It's hectic and it's crazy fun.
Oh, it's a blast. I've gotten several of the Tartarus Gavels.
I've picked up wrecks that I had never even touched before.
I got my hands on a Norfang for the first time.
I still haven't picked up a Norfang.
I've got one. What is that pistol? The one
the Whispered Truth.
The Whispered Truth. I love that thing. That little pistol. Jeez. It is, for being a burst fire weapon, it is absolutely awesome to work with.
Is it?
You get this.
I've only used it a couple of times.
I've gotten it several times, whether picking it up or spawning with it. And almost every time I've gone on it or gotten it, I've gone on a spree.
Wow.
It is a beast of a pistol. I almost want it more than I want an answer. Almost.
Really?
An answer is hard to beat, but that is a really close second.
Because to whisper truth, it's a silenced pistol, and it also gives you a speed boost.
Uh-huh. It really surprised me how well I played with it. because I generally don't do well with speed boosts. Matter of fact, whenever I get speed boosts, I generally just sell the racks so I can buy more cards. I just don't have the coordination to run at a faster pace like that. But with that Whisper of Truth, I don't know what it is with the targeting on it, the bullet magnetism, but it does awesome.
Cool.
I've got the CE pistol, which that's a lot of fun to shoot too.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad it's a higher rec than what I originally thought.
What's it, a six or something?
I believe so.
Well, it's a three,
five or six.
It's a three-shot pistol. It better be a higher rec.
But it's a Blaze of Glory. That one's fun. Second time I've gotten that one. Probably the most fun I had was the Tartarus Gavel. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
The pistol, it's a blast, and I did very well with it. But to be able to kill somebody with a hammer at assault rifle range.
True. Yeah. Very true.
And it's a one-hit kill, even at that distance.
Yeah, I've used it a couple of times, and that thing is just... Well, and I've been on the receiving end of it in Super Fiesta, which has been annoying at times, but still is just... It's ridiculous what that weapon can do.
But I got more of the standard weapons than I did get the rares or the legendaries, which, I mean, I understand that they are the more powerful weapons, but I was getting, you know, for every legendary I got 50 regular loadout weapons or common weapons, put it that way. You know, the regular rocket launcher or I got tons of standard rail guns.
Yeah. I honestly don't really know which weapons specifically are legendaries other than the Prophet's Bane and the Nornfang.
I saw the Prophet's Bane twice.
I've spawned with it, I think, two or three times already.
Of course, by the time I'd see it, it was a little late.
Because you're getting sliced and diced with it?
Yeah. It was on the death cam.
Yeah.
As he dissolves away.
Fair enough, yeah.
But I've really enjoyed it. It's great for weapon. It's great for weapons commendation. I've pretty much have just about every single weapon to either level 4 or level 5, and a lot of them maxed out. My last rec pack opening was commendation after commendation after commendation.
Yeah, I saw that.
I opened like 36 packs, and the majority of them were commendations.
Dang, that's a lot.
Oh, it is a lot, and it's a lot of fun.
And speaking of commendations, not to divert too much, our company's been actually doing some work on our company commendations. We now have 10 out of the 31 required for the Achilles armor set, or the armor, not the helmet, but the armor. And we actually have one almost to level 4 completed.
Cool.
Like, people are doing some work in our Spartan
company.
Yeah, it is crazy. We do have some slots open if you're looking for a company to get there. We're probably not going to be getting the armor for a couple of months, but there are people that are constantly grinding away at getting the commendations done.
And you're more than welcome to come grind with us.
Yes.
The only thing we ask is you don't farm.
Yes. Don't be a douche. Be a fair player. Play the objective.
Play by the rules.
Well, but technically it's by the rules. It's just the rules are broken in that sense.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It is what it
stupid
is.
Stupid rules.
Yeah. So I think it's supposed for Super Fiesta, today is the last day when we're recording this. Because it was just supposed to be a week-long thing, and then they're going to change over whatever the feature playlist is going to be for tomorrow. So by the time you're hearing this, it's already gone. But it's likely going to come back, maybe between regular Fiesta and... I would have a feeling Super Fiesta would be coming back, because I've seen quite a bit of positive reaction from it on Twitter and Reddit.
Oh, yeah. People are loving it. Don't get me wrong, regular Fiesta is great. And if I remember correctly, didn't I see a post where they've added the Super Fiesta and regular Fiesta to the Strongholds and Capture the Flag game types in the ball game types?
They added normal Fiesta. I don't think they added Super Fiesta. I think it was just normal. I know they added normal to the Strongholds, ball, and Capture the Flag, the objectives, but I don't think they did Super Fiesta.
Well, that'd be sad. Yeah, Fiesta Stronghold, Fiesta Capture the Flag, Fiesta Assault.
It'd be you could do some pretty interesting Fiesta stuff with the ball game type.
Oh, yeah. I just wish they'd give a Super Fiesta.
As a custom?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Well, you... Well, with the recent game modes, can't you save those from matchmaking, or can you not?
No, they don't have a recent played list.
Hmm. Dang. Okay. Like every other Halo game in the past?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, another little side tangent. Halo 5 technically turned 6 months yesterday.
Woo!
Woohoo! Woo-hoo.
And I was going to, and I still plan to do this, but I was planning to release a 6 month synopsis or analysis of what Halo 5 has been to release yesterday. But, of course, life got in the way. So, it might be next week before I get to pull that all together and actually release something. But I just kind of wanted to put my own thoughts about how Halo 5 has been over the last 6 months and kind of give it, like, seeing what kind of content's come out and their plan for it, kind of evaluate how Halo 5 was at launch and how it is now and stuff that they need to work on or what I think they could work on for the future, that kind of stuff. So I'm planning to still do a write-up on that and get that out there at some point. But yeah, the only other thing from the community update from last week is they added some more advanced controller settings. So under look sensitivity, you can actually specify horizontal look sensitivity and vertical look sensitivity.
I did not notice that.
They're just adding layers upon layers of customization for the controls. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, this is getting good.
I mean, they're putting a lot out there. They're trying to listen to the community as much as possible. And, I mean, so far it's been doing pretty well for them.
Oh, I got one of the new assassinations for Ghost of Meridian.
Nice. Very nice.
The punch one. What's the name of it? I can't remember.
I forget.
Oh, shoot. Fisticuffs. That's what it is.
Oh, that's right. The fisticuffs.
And if you're going to use that one, now, granted, the assassination animation is probably best turned off in free-for-all, but because it leaves you wide open. But it still looks cool.
Yeah, it does. Yep. Alrighty. And then one other thing I didn't notice here at the bottom of the update, but they teased a little bit more of Infection, and it feels like this is something that may be coming with the Reach update next month.
Fingers crossed.
Could be. I mean, when the subtitle of the section is Infection Looms, it kind of seems to indicate that it's pretty close. At least that's kind of the feeling I get. They also put some screenshots up of some new Forge pieces that'll be kind of enhancing the Infection experience. So there's blockers, there's a drop pod that's on fire, there's other gates and blockades that you can forge in and put up. So they're adding lots of cool stuff to add some additional, I guess, functionality.
Dead bodies.
Oh, that'd be creepy and awesome.
At least there was one in a photo that I saw. There was a dead body that, you know, still wearing clothes, looked like it died of infection. They put in the biohazard sign. So I'm kind of interested to see what they turn out for infection maps.
Yeah, and then with everything that you can do in Forge, like the scripting and whatnot, that could be pretty interesting. So we'll have to see. So that's the update from last week. Something else that actually caught my eye last week, and I don't know if you saw this too, GT, but there was someone that has been working on a Lego build of the Pillar of Autumn for 3.5 years. And with $7,000 worth of Legos weighing in at 100 kilograms and with a distance of 2.15 meters long, which is a little, almost, it's like 6 feet and a quarter, 6 feet 4 inches, 6 feet 5 inches. This thing is pretty amazing.
I found a video on YouTube about somebody that had built a Pillar of Autumn.
So
this is somebody doing a new one?
Yeah, this one's different.
I
think I know which one you're talking about for the Pillar of Autumn, but it was a different build. This build was ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't have the patience to do that.
For 3.5 years? I mean,
I'm doing good 30 minutes.
Well, some of the Mega Block sets take almost a day.
Yeah, I know.
And I have still want to buy.
I still want to buy a Scarab, but I really don't want to put it together.
I have it. I'm planning on putting it together at some point.
You have a couple of sets I'd like to have.
This summer is going to be build streamception. It's going to be a lot.
A lot of fast forward button.
I have a closet half filled with Mega Blocks.
That's a lot of Mega Blocks.
Yep. So I will put a link to that either with the show or maybe I'll end up actually making a post about it. I don't think I actually did on the website yet. I've been behind on posting a lot on the website. If anyone's interested in writing for Podtacular, we could really use a writer. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that up now. Podtacular.com/apply if you want to help out with anything. We could really use the help. Anyways, off that tangent. So yeah, 3.5 years, 3.5 years, $7,000 worth of Legos, weighing in at 100 kilos, and almost 6.5 feet long, the Pillar of Autumn in stunning detail. And there actually is a video of this, and wherever they presented this, it was at some build convention of some kind, so I'll have to try to dig that out. But this thing is crazy intense, and it's, yeah, just a marvel. So
the marvel is watching them move it.
Oh gosh, yeah, putting it piece by piece together.
Well, I'm sure it's built in sections, but
everything's delicate at that point, though, with how big you're moving stuff around.
Exactly.
Yeah,
moving a chunk of the, you know, a 2 foot chunk of it,
uh-huh,
and putting it in its packing to ship it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I bet you he's got the pens on.
Yeah. So we'll link to that either in the episode post on the website or in a separate post that we'll put up at some point. So that is pretty much all the kind of Halo and community stuff that's going on that I can think of. Was there anything else that you're aware of, GT, that happened over the past 2 weeks?
No, the only other thing, and we've already talked about a little bit, was the Warzone Firefight beta.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fun.
It was, oh, jeez. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Next month.
I saw someone on Reddit talking about doing Warzone Firefight Turbo.
Oh, jeez.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of Firefight in the first place, because the whole Firefight is supposed to be kind of like an increasing difficulty thing. If you're just mowing down enemies to start off with, it's not really like a competitive thing anymore against AI.
Well, if they would buff the AI health to match, then it could be a lot of fun. I could see where people would burn through a lot of wreck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just regular Warzone Firefight, I was burning wreck left and right, and not just randoms.
So I was starting to do that at the beginning of playing Firefight, and then it finally kind of dawned on me, wait, I need to save wreck, like the big important wrecks, just for the end, because a lot of the time I can pick up some smaller weapon stuff and pick up what other people call in,
mm-hmm,
and not have to waste my wreck, because I really want to save some of that wreck for actual Warzone when I really, really need it.
No, when they release it, you probably won't find me in regular Warzone at all, unless it's a custom game night.
The thing about Firefight is, at least for me, it didn't feel like the rounds, except for the first one and the last one, were appropriately difficult for the wrecks that people could get. So the first round was, I mean, you're starting at the low level with an AR and pistol, and if you get up fast enough, you can get your carbine and your BR by the time it's over. But other than that, you can get some pretty powerful weapons in 4 and 5, and you can get to wreck level 7 or 8 even by the end of round 3, and then you're getting really close to 9 in round 4.
Well, I think they actually, for the beta, they accelerated the wreck.
You think so?
I think so, because I was pulling wreck down fast.
So was I.
And for not for what I would consider a equivalent level of kills. So I think they actually had the wreck turned up, you know, like they did when they were showing Warzone around before they released Halo 5.
Yeah.
You know, just so you could get up there and you could get the bigger wrecks and get to use them. I At least I hope.
I mean, the last round was fine because it was the mythic ones. You had to put a lot of firepower into them. And there were a few games that I did lose.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, there was a game I even lost in the third round because I just had stupid teammates. I went in solo.
I lost one game, final round, with the Wardens, the three Wardens. But most of the rounds I lost were actually defending that stupid garage.
Yep. That was the one round three I lost because people just didn't know. Just, you got to defend the garage.
Well, the deal is you got to get in the garage and stay there.
So, controlling the top, even in normal Warzone. I mean, I'm not saying this just to you, but like to everyone out there, control the top level. That's the key. And then when you're also defending, you can plasma pistol the Phaetons. And you can just pick them up. You can board them.
That is one thing I did notice, that they had on the Phaeton rounds where you had to kill Phaetons. They had a glitch in there where if somebody jacked a Phaeton, the round wouldn't end until you destroyed that Phaeton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a glitch. It didn't happen every time.
I'm assuming that was the round for the ones that you had to destroy the Phaetons, not...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones you had to destroy the Phaetons in. Same with, I think there was a Banshee one that was the same way.
So, I didn't think you were supposed to be able to board any vehicles that was AI controlled, because you can't do that in normal Warzone, so I think that was a bug.
Yeah, like I said, it's a glitch in the system, whether they intended you to be able to board them or not. It's just something they needed to fix.
Yeah. Anyways, it was still fun.
It was a lot of fun.
They'll bring it back.
I can't wait for it to show back up.
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking it's going to be the last content update in June. I hope they bring it back sooner than that. I really do.
I'm really hoping next month.
Yeah, me too.
It's probably a little fast, don't get me wrong, but I'm really hoping next month.
I think it really comes down to how much they still need to script the scenarios for the other Warzone maps, because if they just did it to where they got to the point where it's just this map and they were ready to push it out, then there still might be quite a bit of additional scripting that needs to go into the maps, which might push that to a June update.
It's entirely possible. You know, being Firefight, I was kind of hoping it would come out with the Reach update. Probably not, because granted, there is a lot of copy-paste in it, but there is a lot of customization of the maps that they need to do for Warzone Firefight, and to get the AI to respond properly on each map. So the sooner the better. That's all I got to say.
And I still am of the argument that Warzone can be forgeable. And I know we're going to have a podcast on that at some point. I want to get some forgers on here to discuss the implications of that. Maybe get someone on from 343 to do that too. That might be cool. If you're listening out there, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's see. What else do we want to look into here? Oh, I don't remember if we did this one. Did we talk about Twitter question of the week on the last show?
I do not remember.
I don't think we did. If we did, I'm sorry for the repeat, but I'm just going to cover my bases here. So 2 weeks ago, I put out a question of the week asking what content have people enjoyed the most with regards to the updates that have been released with Halo 5. And I put out their game modes, maps, customization, and weapons. And the winning choice with 35% of the votes was game modes, which I kind of included with Forge as well, since 343 kind of categorized Forge as a game mode. So that includes Forge. Yeah. So 35% went to modes, 30% maps, 22% rec customization, and 13% rec weapons.
Nice.
So a little bit more even distribution amongst the options there, but game modes being kind of the big one. And I think that kind of goes to show that 343 needed some of those game modes there at launch.
Most definitely.
Yes.
But that's an old subject.
We'll probably talk about it at some point.
it will repeat itself, I'm sure.
It's definitely something I'm going to be addressing in my six-month recap post. So we're going to touch on a long-lost topic that we haven't talked about in a while and talk about campaign mission. So the last one, yay! The last one that we talked about was mission number 11, Before the Storm, which was one of those little hub missions, so something really quick. So we are going on to mission number 12, Battle of Sunion. With
in this mission probably gave me the most difficulty on Legendary.
Really?
As far as moving through the mission.
Oh, because everything was over water?
Well, that and it, just with the AI and the limited fight space that you have, it was really a challenge. You know, not the hardest mission in the game, just difficult.
Fair enough. Okay. So for, I guess, a short recap of what has led up to this point, Fireteam Osiris, with the help of Dr. Halsey, have managed to find the Guardian that is on St. Helios, and they found a constructor who was able to be configured to go and activate the Guardian, so it went on its merry way, and Osiris got deployed to Sunion, which is the last stronghold the Covenant has on St. Helios. So you're going in fighting with the Arbiter side by side as Fireteam Osiris. So you, along with the Swords of St. Helios, are going into Sunion to go and find the Guardian. So this is your last big fight with the Covenant throughout the rest of the campaign, pretty much here. So starting off, I guess, I don't think there's anything else I need to really cover there. You get dropped off from a Phantom going at super high speeds, trying to avoid a bunch of anti-air fire. You get dropped off with the Arbiter, and before you start anything, you need to turn around and pick up your first piece of intel. Yay, intel. I forgot about intel.
Yay!
It's been so long since we've done these. Intel, yay.
Yeah, intel.
What's intel again? What?
Oh, that's that stuff that's, you know, yeah. The little blinky thing on the ground.
Yeah. Anyways. So, other than the intel, your main purpose for actually going to, you're being inserted to take out the air defense turrets. So, the Swords of St. Helios can drop in more support as you go and try to find the Guardian.
Now, one thing I've got to add, when you click, granted, yes, go get the intel, but when you clear the area, watch the Arbiter. He scales a wall in a very interesting way.
I don't think you can move on to the next part until he starts to scale the wall in the first place.
Yeah, you can't, but just most people are looking around on the ground for weapons and stuff. Watch the Arbiter. He basically shoves his sword into the wall and uses it for a handle to climb the wall.
I mean, you got a plasma sword that can cut almost anything. I mean,
it's the first time I'd ever seen it.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm just playing the funny card. But yeah, to your point,
it is freaking cool. I just did a short little playthrough this evening on it, and I happened to look and watch the Arbiter, and he walks over to the wall, shoves a sword into the wall, and climbs up it. I'm like,
why can't I do that?
Cool. I want to do that with my sword.
Right. Why can't I do that? Halo, please. 343, please. Gosh, that would be interesting if you actually could do that with a knife or something and scale walls.
Yeah.
That would add a whole new movement mechanic to Halo. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, just take away Clamber. Let us shove a knife in the wall to climb up.
Well, Clamber's nice if you're actually just like teetering on the edge, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after you clear out the first area, take out the first anti-air turret, the Arbiter does his spiel, and he's going to take the high ground, you're going to take the low ground, and after he climbs up the wall, doors open, there's going to be three grunts there, so just make sure you're standing back a little bit, because they will go suicide and blow you up. I guess we should also address something really quick, not to tangent again, but 343 has actually tweaked some of the difficulty in the campaign. So I think they tweaked the difficulty on single player and four player co-op to be,
they adjusted across the board.
Yeah, but on some of them they went more difficult and some of them less. So I think
the one thing I found interesting is they made Legendary harder for solo.
Yeah, it was solo, and I think four-player co-op, they made Legendary harder, but then they made two-player and three-player co-op for Legendary easier, right? Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was a weird mix. They made one harder and one easier, and it was like totally opposite from what you'd think they should do.
Well, I've heard a lot of people complain about two-player Legendary being the most difficult Legendary you could play.
True. I can understand that, but I heard a comment about four player co-op, and maybe it was two player co-op they changed the difficulty on, but they increased the difficulty on single player, And then they increased the difficulty on three and four person co-op for Legendary. Because honestly, most of the game, as long as you're not hunting certain achievements, four person co-op is pretty easy on Legendary.
Yeah, so I just pulled up the GameSpot article. They reduced two-player difficulty slightly, increased single-player difficulty slightly, made warden attacks a little bit easier to dodge, particularly on lower difficulties. Face beam tracks moving targets less accurately. Gravity bomb has less homing. Melee attack has slightly less range. Made the warden slightly easier to kill from the front. Reduce AI focus turret damage output. Reduce AI storm rifle suppressor and light rifle effectiveness. Increased AI plasma pistol, needler, and beam rifle effectiveness. Added a tackle animation to sword elites. Increased elite officer and soldier officer durability. Reduced soldier BAMF frequency. That's, I guess, the BAMF is when they do a little teleport warp thing.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Killing a crawler now deals an area of effect damage to all nearby enemies, softening them up or killing them outright. Reduced frequency of squad AI getting killed while in a gunner's turret in a player vehicle.
That's handy.
Yeah. Made being killed by an attached plasma grenade non-revivable.
That's fair.
Fair enough, yeah. Increased AI special ability chance with higher player count in co-op games. Example, plasma pistol overcharge, grenade throw. Increased AI promotion chance with player count in co-op games. Yikes. More difficult.
In other words, they turned on the mythic skull.
Yeah.
And then you can still turn on the mythic skull.
And then the first player to press the call for help now has priority.
That's good.
For AI.
Yeah, I've come across some instances when I was playing co-op and I'd go down, I'd hit, you know, the help me button, and then my partner would go down, and because he was closer to them, they went and revived him first. So.
Still, it'd be nice if they, I mean, maybe they fixed this and then it's just one of the minor patch notes, but have the AI run to where you are, not just walk over.
Yeah.
Because that's
I'm in trouble. This is not a leisurely stroll.
No, it's painful. It's like, I need help. Come pick me up, please. Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to deter from that because we did forget to mention that earlier, and it is something that did get updated, so it's important to note. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anyways, back to the campaign mission at hand for Battle of Sinion. After you take out the first anti-air and then you get the door with the grunts, you're moving on to your next area. You're taking out yet another anti-air defense. I mean, you're doing this for a couple of times. I think there's a total of 4 or 5 turrets you're taking out at some point.
Yeah, a total of 5 turrets in this first area.
Yeah, yes. So there's one.
You do 1, 1, and then 3.
Right, yes. So after you go through these first set of doors, there's going to be a second set of kind of doors that you're going through before you get to the second anti-air gun. Once you take that out, go and hang a left, and you're going to find a room that you're going to find your second piece of intel in. So you'll see an inner room that has stairs and has grunts in it. You can, if you go just inside that building but not all the way in, there'll be another little inside section, and that's where you're going to pick up your second piece of intel.
And you can also pick up your one of the achievements in this room as well, Death from Above, I believe it is.
Yep.
If you do not kill the grunts in the lower portion of that room and you come up from top and ground pound them, then you will get your achievement.
So it's ground pounding the grunts and smashing a hole in the floor. You have to do both of those in conjunction.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot about smashing a hole in the floor.
Yeah, you're basically using your ground pound to break through a floor breakable area while taking out a grunt at the same time.
Which is fun.
Oh, yeah. And this isn't the only place you could do that. And for me personally, I actually prefer the next area. But this one works just as well.
Yeah, it's early in the mission. You can get it out of the way.
Yep, pretty much. So after you get through that section, then you're going to come up on the final above ground section before you head underneath. And that's where you're going to find 3 anti-air turrets. If you're playing on co-op, it's probably easiest to divide and conquer, taking like doing pairs, because the first one that you're going to need to take out is right in front of you. there's a little center area which you'll be able to take out the turret. And actually, are there actually six turrets? Because I think there's a...
No. Well, total?
Yeah. You've played it more recently, so I'll trust you. Never mind. I thought...
No, there's five turrets in this first area. And then there are, I believe, a couple more towards the
end of the mission. No, hang on. There is six. Because, yeah, you do one that is in the area where you have the...
When you first spawn
right,
in.
And then the second one between... right before you go to get the second piece of intel, and then there's a third one before you enter the final area. Because the third one has it where it has that bridge that all the jackals are on. So yeah, the third one is actually guarded by a lot of jackals. And that's where you actually get to pick up a carbine if you want to use a carbine, because you don't really have much place to pick up any more BR ammo.
Yeah, you've long since run out of pistol and BR ammo by this point.
Yeah, so it's definitely, at least from my point of view, it's definitely a good thing to pick up a carbine, and then if you're able to find the plasma caster, pick that up or not use it. I personally like the needler. I know not everyone likes the needler, but you could do a carbine plasma pistol combo or a carbine plasma rifle combo, whatever works for
you. I like the carbine needler combo.
That's my favorite. And I'll do plasma pistol if I'm going up against a bunch of elites that have shields, then plasma pistol. Sometimes I'll go that route if that's kind of the more abundant weapon available, because there's just so many grunts with plasma pistols.
Oh, yes.
So many grunts.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. There's plenty of them to go around. So after you take out the third turret, you're going to be moving into this final section. There's going to be a turret right there in front of you on the lower ground, and there's going to be a turret over on the far right. And the generator for that one is off kind of on the opposite side of the pillar that the turret's on. And then there's one all the way up on top of the building on the left. And the two on the right are pretty easy to take out. It's a good idea to go ahead and just take out as many enemies first. So if you're playing co-op, best recommendation from me would be to have someone that is focusing on taking out elites with plasma pistols, and then having someone else just taking out jackals and grunts with headshots, and then trying to clean up elites as some other people are plasma pistoling their shields away. That is what I find the easiest to do. If you're running solo, the thing I have found best is I will go and head up the left. I'll take out the couple of elites up there along with the grunts, and then the building to the far left has the stairs that goes up to the top where you need to go in order to take out the generator for the turret up there. And then just go ahead and try to clear everything else out from up there, because you have the high ground advantage.
Yeah, the one thing you have to watch on that high turret on the right, there's a shade turret
there
as well. So.
Yes, there is. And he will turn around and make your day painful.
Very quickly.
And as you're going up to the left platform, also be careful with the invisible elites. As you're going up, you can actually kind of dip into the building just before they see you, but you will see them shimmer, and just beware that there's two of them there with energy swords.
And they will scare the pee out of you if you ain't expecting
right.
them.
I found that it's pretty easy to dodge them as you go into the building, but
it is.
You just got to be mindful of the possibility that they're there.
The first time I played through that and I went up there, I come up the stairs and there's a sword elite swinging.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't, I don't know why I wasn't, because that's a perfect place to put one, but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting to see an energy sword hit it straight.
Whoops. Well, you know, everyone has their day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After you take out all the anti-air turrets there and finish off killing whatever elites, jackals, grunts may be left over, then more things, swords of St. Helios will come in and secure the landing zone. And at this point, you're going to be heading underground. Underground. Actually, it's more like just the lower level of Sunion. You'll hop on an elevator platform and wait for your team to all get there, then you'll activate, then you'll go down into the underrealm of Sunion. Undercity. There we go. I was searching through the guide. I'm like, what's the word for it? And it's Undercity.
The underwear.
the underwear. That'd be funny. So Sunion's Undercity. That's what it's called. Sorry for anyone that was cringing that whole time and I just butchered it. If Grim is listening, sorry for butchering it.
Sorry, Grim. Yeah,
sorry about that. As you get down to the Undercity, you're going to hop on over, and you're basically playing lily pad jump, almost like Frogger. Just making sure you're...
It really is.
Just making sure you're not falling into the water, because there are plenty of places to fall off.
You're dodging shots and jumping from lily pad to lily
pad. Pretty much. So there's a couple different ways that you can take this. If you're going for intel, your first piece of intel that you want to pick up in the Undercity, if you go through the first kind of hallway through the pillar and then look across, there's a second hallway pillar. If you go through that and then immediately take a right, it's going to be up there. That's going to be intel number 3 for the mission, first intel down here. And I personally, when I'm not going through finding intel and whatnot, I'll take the right side because it's typically a little bit higher. And it seems like more of the enemies are taking the bigger platforms on the left. Now, the platforms on the right, they're a little bit smaller. There's a little more chance to fall off or get pinned pretty easily by enemy fire. But I find it's just easier to work through and get through more quickly. And because you have a little bit higher ground, typically, it makes, as long as you're aware of other enemies possibly moving in around you, it makes taking out the enemy covenant a little bit easier.
Yeah, it definitely offers a lot more cover.
At least that's what works for me. I don't know. Do you have any strategy that you do here?
Well, I'll generally, you know, the first couple areas, I'll stay down low and shoot up to the big, to the little platforms, and then I'll climb up to the little platforms because that's where the weapons are that I just killed from the, you know, enemies, so I can reload on carbine or needler rounds if I haven't brought a sniper rifle with me or anything like that. And then I'll work. Then I'll work the smaller islands.
And there are some elites with plasma casters if you like the plasma caster, because I like the plasma caster. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some really funny grunt jokes in here. If you take the time to listen to some of the grunts before you kill them, there's some pretty good ones. Good one-liners in here.
As I was going down the elevator earlier, where, you know, we've sunk down the height of the Spartan, or just a little bit beyond that, and I hear one of the elites go, "Hey, elite! Hey, humans, look over here."
I'm like, what?
Do what? Okay.
It said, the elite said, "Humans, look over here."
I'm like, I'm 7 feet down in a hole. I can't see you.
I will say they did actually do a pretty good job with some of the one-liners for the enemies in this game.
Oh, definitely. I truly missed that part of the Halo games. Is just hearing the banter between the elites and the grunts and what they'd say to you when they kill you or when you kill their friend. But it's truly enjoyable to hear that again. And they did a good job.
He was my food nibble buddy.
Yes. They did a really good job of writing on the little one-liners.
Just buy when you need him to do a grunt impersonation. # blamed by wolf. Anyways, the next piece of intel is over on one of the other floating islands on the right. So you'll get to a point where the islands are actually connected by bridges, and the island that's off to the far right that's connected to a bridge, that's where your fourth piece of intel is going to be for this mission.
So if you're down on the low side, guess what? You get to climb.
Yeah, you do. It is what it is. But so as you're going up to kind of finish this section, though, isn't there a plasma cannon up there?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a stationary turret.
Yeah, so just make sure you're keeping an eye out for that as you kind of approach up there. It's not too hard to take out, or at least it never has been for me. It's just something to be mindful of as you're kind of completing this section.
Yeah, if you've got a carbine or a beam rifle, you can take the elite off of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, so you're going to be passing through this large structure, and then you're going to be moving on to kind of one of the more interesting parts. You have this long bridge with some lower areas that you're going to be just kind of mowing through more elites, jackals, and grunts. I would definitely recommend if you have a plasma caster, or if you're kind of looking forward here, save the plasma caster for this part, because it'll come in really handy as some of the enemies like to hide in those lower areas, and it's just nice to kind of bounce those plasma bolts in there and take them out really quick. At least that's kind of my preferred method of going through that area really quickly. And then obviously have your carbine out so you can headshot the grunts and the jackals. Makes things pretty easy. There is a little platform up on the right before you reach kind of the next big disc area that has another big giant pillar that has a beam rifle on it. And that's actually pretty useful as well if you kind of hop up there. So if you want to grab that, go ahead and do that. And then as you're coming up to the last part before you head back up from the Undercity, you'll find a hunter, a pair of hunters at the very end. So you get to take them out. And there's another achievement right here as well.
And I really don't have any tips for you on this one. Somehow you have to trick each hunter into falling off the map.
So the easiest way I found to do this, or at least when I did this, this is how I did it. I played it on easy. Obviously do the easiest difficulty you can. You can do this one on easy. And you just kind of run around the hunter until he starts trying, like, kind of coming in the direction that you want. And you need to get him to swing at you. And I think on easy, it's okay. You can take a hit from a swing and they'll be fine. But you kind of want to, as he's like starting to charge and swing, you want to be on the edge of the platform. You want to jump out and hover. He'll fall off, and then you either thrust back onto the platform or you can ground pound back on, depending on how you have it set up. So that's really the easiest way I have done is try to lure the hunter, like get up close to the hunter and try to lure him as close as you can to the edge, and then try to get him to either charge you or lunge at you with one of his hits. And eventually you'll get him to walk off the edge. It takes a little time, but that's kind of the strategy that I use whenever I went to get this achievement.
Yeah, I like the word. I associate this with you have to be patient, because they really don't want to go to the edge.
Not all the time. Although, it didn't really, honestly, take me that long. I think whenever I did it, it took me 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah. Again, it also depends on what difficulty you're playing it on.
So. Very true. Very true. But that's the hunters. Other than that, if you're going through on Legendary or any other difficulty, you can kind of get into a good position to take them out really quickly. So you'll actually see them drop in. And if you position, you can sprint yourself up to where the elevator is. And if you can get behind them, you can actually get a lot of shots on their exposed area before they actually turn around and fight you. So I can't remember if I did this on Heroic or Legendary, but there was one time where I was doing a run through on this and I got behind them and almost completely took out a hunter before they actually started shooting at us. And if you can get one hunter pretty much out of the way before they start attacking you, that makes things so much easier.
Yeah, it's nice to only have to deal with one fuel rod cannon. And if you want, if you go off to the right as you approach the hunters, climb up the stairs, turn to the right, there's a couple of fuel rod cannons. And then if you jump across to the platform to your left, there's a plasma caster there as well.
Yeah, so pick those up. The fuel rods are definitely useful.
And then while you're up there getting that fuel rod, grab your fifth piece of intel.
Yeah, there's another piece of intel there too. I think definitely use the fuel rods. It'll do quite a bit of damage to them. If you're running co-op, if you have someone with a needler, you can use the needlers to do the super combine in the back. Other than that, you just gotta pound them with whatever you can in their exposed areas.
Yeah, they definitely aren't wimps.
I think there might be an elite with a sword in this area. If you can pick up a sword, that actually does some significant damage to them as well.
Well, a lot of the higher rank elites, if you can take their shields off and do just the right amount of damage, they will pull their sword out and charge you.
I think in most cases, if you overcharge them with a plasma pistol and drop their shields, they'll take their sword out.
Yeah, you have to do a little bit more damage than just peel their shields off. Basically, you've got to make them angry, and you won't like them when they're in your... Never mind.
They're not as bad. They could be worse.
Yeah. But if you peel their shields off, just be careful. If you want them to pull their sword out, you only want to hit them with a couple of shots until you see them pull that sword out, and then go ahead and kill them, and then the sword drops.
Yes, exactly. So after you take out the hunters, you'll go back up from the Undercity, back up to where you actually see some devastation. And there's one... So this mission isn't very story heavy. It's just mostly you just kind of going through the city of Sunion trying to get to the Guardian. But there is one point as you're going up the elevator, and it's the Arbiter saying or telling you when you see the chief, give him my regards. And I think it's Vale that comes on and says that she's never heard an elite give a human that much respect.
Yeah, it plays very well with the amount of respect the Arbiter has for the chief. And you hear that in a lot of the extended lore. It's a really neat little tidbit that they put in there.
I'll have to explore that a little bit later, but that's kind of like, that was one of the big, like, that's a really cool moment in this mission. Like, for a mission that is very story light, that was just really cool to see that in there. It's like, yeah, Arbiter really regards Chief as a, like, they were mortal enemies before, and now they're, like, best of buds. That's just really cool. As you get back up to the Overcity for Sunion, you'll see a bunch of devastation there. There's a piece of intel off just to the right after you get out the elevator. And this is actually the part that we saw in the E3 brief back in 2014, where we saw the grunt that committed suicide with the plasma grenades. I forgot what the line he said. If Bio was here, he'd remember. But you get to do that whole little sequence that we saw at E3, so...
And I like how in the guide that is the hashtag intel.
I think that's just they forgot to put the number there.
I just always thought that was funny.
The hashtag intel.
It's not number 6, it's hashtag.
Or the number sign, or the pound sign.
Or the number sign, yeah, pound sign. Yeah.
Anyways, so you get to go run through this little part, and you'll see the Guardian that has come out of the water and starts to do his song and actually knocks down the bridge. So you do this little action sequence that we've all seen before. Run across the bridge, you run into another section where you have a pretty much destroyed building. There's a bunch of destruction everywhere. You'll find another piece of intel up on the top level as you're kind of coming up through the building. It's the building that you jump to after the bridge kind of collapses beneath you. So you'll find it up on the top level, and that'll be your 7th piece of intel. And then there's another piece of intel just up on the right after you go through the next room, which has a couple of soldiers in it. So after you take out the soldiers...
It's where you saw Buck fight the Phaeton in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah, up in that little section. And that's all the intel for this mission. And then we finally get to our last part of the mission. We actually meet up with the Arbiter again. So they've actually got ahead of you a little bit, but he's there. And you see him actually assassinating, is it a knight or a soldier?
Okay, soldier.
And whoever, I guess I've always played it where you're Locke as you go up. But it might be someone else if you get there first. But Locke says, Arbiter. And Arbiter's like, huh? What? I just thought that was a funny part.
Yeah. There is the one thing about this area is if you want to find the skull, you need to get the skull before you kill the warden.
Well, you need to just run for the skull first, period.
Yeah.
After you get past the Arbiter, there is a little bit of time for dialogue to go through and gives time for the Prometheans to actually spawn in. So you just need to run straight for the skull. So if you go to the very end... Like, so the door that you come out of, if you basically just go straight out and veer slightly left, there's a statue that's been knocked over, and then there's a little platform that looks like it's overlooking the water, which is where the warden ends up spawning. If you go just over that, there's a little section that kind of goes down, and
it's a beam.
Yeah, there's a beam that goes down. You need to walk down that, and the skull is located underneath there.
It's kind of buried in the building a little bit. You can see just the face of the skull and a little bit of the top of the head. So you'll have to look pretty closely.
Yeah. And it's the cowbell skull. Needs more cowbell.
More cowbell. But there's plenty of weapons in here.
Lots.
If you go off to your right, there is beam rifles, a fuel rod, two fuel rods, sorry. And if you go around the corner from the fuel rod a little bit, you'll find a incineration cannon. Or in an incineration cannon.
Fumble words. Words are hard.
Yeah, fumble word. And then, of course, you've got the crawlers and knights all drop-in weapons as well. I find the suppressor very handy.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And there's lots of suppressor in this area.
You know what else I would recommend? Splinter grenades.
Oh,
especially on the knights. Don't waste them on the crawlers. Don't waste them on the soldiers. Use them on the knights and the warden.
And be mindful of the warden. Whenever you're not shooting at him, make sure you've got something between him and
yes.
you. Or his face beam will wipe you
face
out.
Beam or gravity ball. Either one.
Yeah, the gravity ball. And I found that if you watch him, you know, he charges up that gravity ball. When he fires, let it track you for a little bit and then go behind cover and step back, and it will drop down and hit the cover and not hurt you.
But don't be right on top of the cover because it does have a splash right. damage.
Yeah, you want to move back from the cover, but you want that to start tracking you so it starts to drop and come down to your yes. level. That way it doesn't go over the cover. But just, you know, step back from the cover a little bit and then it'll hit there and you won't be harmed. But just be aware of the warden.
Yep. One other thing I would note too is that when I was playing solo, I went down quite a lot because the warden takes a punch.
Oh, yeah.
To take out. So it's okay if you go down. You just got to be mindful of where you're going down.
Yeah. Try to die. Try to go down in an
try
area
to die.
Where you're.
Just try to die.
You're A. your AE, the AI can get to you and still have a little bit of cover.
Yes.
Because the funny thing about the AI is all three of them will come over to help and none of them will continue shooting at the enemies. At least that's what's happened yeah. to me.
Well, it's kind of better for you.
Yeah. Stay in places that they can naturally get to. Like if you're up on something, like up on a building or something, and you get downed, they won't make it to you in time. When they have to climb, it takes forever for them to get to you.
And command the heck out of them. I would have them focus on the bigger guys as you're taking out some of the smaller ones, and that'll help out a lot. And then just smash that, hey, I need revive button whenever you actually do go down. That's kind of the best way I've found. It's because I went down quite a bit, but it was never in a point where I couldn't get the AI to come and help me, or at least it didn't happen very often to where they couldn't come and help me. You just got to be mindful of, hey, this is, you're likely going to go down after you clear a certain amount of enemies. So just kind of be mindful of where you're going to be and make sure that the AI can come and pick you up or the warden's not going to immediately pick them off.
Well, the area like where you go up to get the fuel rod and the incineration cannon, yet you have cover there, but get
I don't
the
recommend
stuff
it.
And
yeah,
get out.
I don't recommend being up there.
Don't go up there and try to hide behind the crate and because you'll get waylaid either by the warden or one of the crawlers.
I would say almost play midfield. So where you come out from the door where you meet the arbiter and where the warden is, play midfield.
Yeah, that's where I tend to work because there's plenty of cover there. There's plenty of solid cover that you can hide behind. So if you get downed, the AI will revive you relatively quick. Make sure that you keep the AI close to you. It's fine to command them to kill an enemy, but don't send them all to kill a knight when there's 500 crawlers right in front of you, because they will run past all the crawlers and go to the knight, and then they all die. So just use them responsibly.
Yeah.
And then if you kill them all, then just kind of hang back and try to play the range game.
Pot shot the warden. It's a legitimate strategy. So after you defeat the warden, then you are given the opportunity to try to get on board the guardian. This is where you go into the cutscene. So you get picked up by Palmer and you're trying to avoid a bunch of fire from banshees and phaetons and whatnot. The pelican you're in eventually gets hit, but Palmer is able to navigate it successfully to give you the ability to drop onto the Guardian, and then you're off to Genesis.
Which has the second best opening scene.
What, in terms of like comedy or?
No, just in quality. Well, at least in my opinion. It's my second favorite.
Gotcha.
Blue team wins, hands down. Genesis, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You get a whole new outlook on life. Mostly straight down.
I love the way you phrased that. That was awesome. Alrighty. So that's going to wrap it up for this campaign mission. We'll be covering some of the other ones here in a little bit. We want to get done with these as soon as possible because we do want to have lots of discussions into the lore and what the ending means and all that fun stuff. So that is something that we want to get to, and hopefully we'll get to it here pretty soon.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of interesting theories out there.
And we want to talk about them, and we want you guys to talk about them with us as well. So hopefully we'll get to that soon. Next week, we are going to be talking about the Pro League, since that is a thing. And we had the PAX thing that happened this past weekend, and I want to talk about that a little bit. So hopefully we can get to that, and hopefully we can finally have Evil Geniuses on. Hopefully. And with that, that's going to end it for this podcast tonight. No bio. I know it's a little bit shorter than normal, but we got through quite a bit of stuff, which is good. And we'll be back probably with another one. We might be doing a catch-up episode for this weekend to go through some of the other campaign missions. So you might get a double whammy for us before our next one. So we'll see if that happens. But other than that, just want to go ahead and shout out the podcast network. Make sure you go check them out. We are part of a group of gaming podcasts, including Critzcast, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. And there's another podcast up there now, and I don't know if it's part of one of the other podcasts. I'm looking it up right now, but I think it maybe, yeah, so it's under How to Murder Time, but there's a new kind of like Minecraft podcast that How to Murder Time has been doing under their feed. So if you're into Minecraft, definitely check that podcast out. And make sure you just head on over there and check out the other podcast. You can find that at podka.st and find out more over there. And we also want to just kind of remind you guys to make sure you check out our game nights. So if you're part of the Spartan Company, which there is still room available if you're looking to join a company, then we have our Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays, and those typically happen around 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And we also have Fraggin' Fridays, which is hosted by none other than Godzilla T, who's been doing an excellent job with that. And those are on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And with the new and improved file share, you can guarantee we're going to have lots of fun customs.
Yes, so come join in the fun.
Maybe even new ones every week. And then once Race comes out, oh boy. Let the fun begin. Have a racing league. That'd be cool.
I'm actually looking forward to Race showing up.
That would be awesome. I know Duquesne's been working on a lot of race maps, and there's a lot of people out there that are really looking forward to Race. Although there's more people looking forward to Infection. Frickin' Reach kids.
Well, don't get me wrong. Infection is not my most favorite game type, but the things they do with Infection for a game type, for mini games...
For some of them, yes, as long as I'm not playing Fat Kid.
Yes, there are bad ones, but I'm not a big fan of Fat Kid either. Yeah. It always seems very unbalanced.
No, I give a knock to Infection. It's really not that bad of a game type. It is actually a very versatile game mode that has had a lot of cool things come out of it with Halo 3 and Reach. I mean, one of my most favorite game types from Reach, Speed, is an Infection game type. Exactly. I love Speed so freaking much.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that come back. That will make a regular appearance on Fraggin' Friday.
They just need to make sure that it's good with the physics of the Warthog. Because the way the physics worked in Reach, it just worked flawlessly. And it was so much fun and it was hilarious because you had the Warthogs that would be flipping out of control.
Well, I played it's not necessarily that game, but it is a game very similar to it. And it seems the physics work reasonably well, not as well as in Reach, but you still get to the point where you have absolutely no control over the Warthog in any manner whatsoever. It just takes a little bit longer.
As long as it's going as fast as it could in Reach and the Warthogs are flipping out of control as much as they did in Reach, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I don't think you quite get going as fast. It's still pretty quick, but you're not blinking through the map
quite you're not that fast. Flying through like 1,000 meters in 2 seconds.
One of my favorite memories in there is I was one of the last people alive. We had 16 people in the lobby, and I'm just humming through there. Literally, if I blinked, I missed a lap. That's how fast I was going.
And then when you hit somebody and splattered somebody and got like an overkill with the splatter, it was so fun.
Oh, I took 10 of them up one swipe. The hog happened to just come down just to the ground, just above it. And it was crossways and I just. I was amazed that I actually made it through there because I knew when I saw how the hog was going to go through there, I'm like, somebody's going to nail me with a hammer because, you know, my hog is like blazing on fire. But I made it through.
Honestly, that is my favorite custom out of any custom that's been made for Halo is speed. Because you just, it gets to a point where you can't help but just not almost die of laughter.
Yeah, you don't play that game and not just finish, not just start rolling.
Because it gets ridiculous.
I mean, it's a good thing you can't really control anything because you're laughing so hard you couldn't do anything anyway.
And then when you get like a random double or triple, you're like, yes, I got a kill. Oh, good times. Thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We'll be back here pretty soon. Hopefully we will have Bio on next time as well. He had some family stuff come up. So hope he's doing well and hope that everyone enjoyed this episode. We will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging Sunion.